Well, good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Reynolds. I'm the Equip pastor here at Grace Bible Church. And I told you back in December at the end of last year that if Jace gave me an opportunity again, I would preach the counterpart to last proverb. And so this is the second part of a Proverbs series that you probably forgot the first part. So here we are. Today, our text is Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Let me read it for you. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The title of today's sermon is A Gentle Answer in a Harsh World. So I want you to imagine with me, I am working for a large Christian university, and I'm working on the phone, answering questions, helping people get in their documents to get accepted to this large Christian university. And I was working with this one gentleman, and we ended up having some problems because we couldn't get his high school transcript. And any of you out there going into college, let me just give you a little word of advice. You need your high school transcripts to get into college. So I just want you to know that. And unfortunately, we could not get his high school transcripts, and he was very angry. And so he was, let's say, gearing this anger towards me, if you will. And I remember he was got more and more angry, and at the height of the conversation, he said, "You're a witch." And he said that over and over again. "You're a witch. The devil's using you. You're a witch." And I remember thinking, I don't really know how to respond to that. I'm not really sure what the proper response is when someone says, "You're a witch." You see, in that moment, I had a couple of options. How was I going to respond? And we tend in those moments to respond in anger and to make a bad situation worse, don't we? And the question we're going to ask today is, how can we respond with wisdom when conflict arises in conversation? Now, the section that we're in Proverbs gives little short life advice. You're familiar with it, right? Two lines of advice. Very short, succinct, but very powerful wisdom. So today we're looking at Proverbs 15:1. It's so short, I'm gonna read it again. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our outline today is very simple. Number one, respond gently. And number two, don't amplify anger. But you see, the Proverbs actually have a lot to say. The Bible has a lot to say about our words. Our ability to speak, it seems so natural to us. We don't even think about it. But scientists believe language is actually wired into our brains. It's not just something we learn, it's who we are. And the Bible echoes this idea that God created us as speaking beings in the image of God. Do you ever think about that? That God didn't have to teach Adam and Eve how to speak. They just walked with him in the garden. They spoke with him in the garden. Something about who they are allows them to speak. But from the start, Adam and Eve named creatures. And remember in the book of Genesis, they were even manipulated through words. Proverbs has a whole lot to say about the value of speech. It compares speech to gold and silver. Proverbs tells us that the uniqueness of humans, we're not just animals, but we're creatures capable of communication, and our words should be refreshing water. They should be nourishing. They should bring peace. They should restore sinners and rescue the perishing. But from Satan in Genesis chapter 3 to the book of Revelation with the false prophets, the Bible warns us that words can be used to deceive, control, destroy, and hurt others. We hurt others by lying, gossiping, flattery, speaking in anger, impetuous speech. And Proverbs even says this, by talking too much. Proverbs 10, verse 19. That one hits really hard for any of us who are extroverts. And Proverbs also says we make an error by talking instead of working. But by the power of God, we can use speech to the glory of God and to the good of others. So let's look at Proverbs 15:1 and how we can accomplish this. The very first word in Hebrew is actually the word answer. So the proverb assumes that we've got a conversation going on, right? Two people are talking back and forth, and the implication is it may have become a little heated. Now, I'm sure you've never been involved in this kind of conversation. I know all of you out there, like myself, have never talked with a family member about an unresolved conflict that's been under the surface for years, and then the conversation blew up. I know you've never heard family conversations about inheritance that went from a joke to something a little more in an instant. And I know that none of you have ever participated in any of those Facebook conversations. You know those. If the internet arguments could solve problems, the world would be perfect by now. I am sure of it. I certainly know I've never participated in any of those conversations. Just joking. So in the midst of these heated conversations, what weapon does Proverbs recommend we bring? A big ego? A witty answer, maybe? Or a raised voice? Mm-mm. How about a good old-fashioned stone wall? Nope. A little bit of sarcasm? A little bit of cynicism? Maybe a clear justification about why I'm right and you're wrong. You know, interestingly, Proverbs doesn't seem to mention any of these tools that I'm so good at using. Proverbs offers us a different alternative. It says a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs says a soft answer. Now, what exactly does this mean? This word is sometimes used to talk about people who are sensitive, people who are gentle. How soft or gentle are we talking about? Well, let me give you an image. Have any of you ever donated to the Arbor Day Foundation? They sent us a little something in the mail and said, if you donate a little bit, we'll send you some trees. And I said, that sounds great. Hey, I like that. I looked up their mission. Their mission is to inspire people to plant, nurture, and celebrate trees. Hey, that sounds good to me. So my wife and I donated to this organization, and we received a few trees to plant around our house. The only thing is, I think they may have a slightly different definition of tree. This is what they sent us. Those arrived in the mail, and I looked at my wife and I said, that's a tree? That looks like a stick. Well, I suppose, in a sense, it is a tree, but not at the moment. At the moment, it's just a gentle little stick. But we did plant one of them in our yard, and here is how it's going. Look at that. That's about 6 foot tall, I think. It's doing pretty good. But Proverbs says when you answer someone, you should answer with a soft, gentle answer, like a stick, a little tiny stick that can be broken. That's the type of answer that we are supposed to give. But how can something so soft be used to combat anger, wrath, and frustration? Well, Proverbs claims that this is possible, and I think, yeah, right. I don't think so. In our conversations, we generally want to fight fire with fire, right? If someone's angry, what do? Well, you respond in anger. That's what you do. Proverbs says this about a gentle word. Proverbs 25:15, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded. And it says, a soft tongue will break a bone. Ouch. A soft answer will break a bone. There's great power in taking things down a notch and responding with a gentle word, a baby twig of a response. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament, this great book of examples, the book of Judges, where we go to find all of our positive examples. No, I'm just kidding. Judges 8, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. Judges 8, verses 1 to 3. And the men of Ephraim said to him, They're talking to Gideon. The men of Ephraim have a reputation for being a little hot-headed, and they're unhappy with how Gideon judged. And this is what they say. "What is this that you have done to us, not to call us when you went to war against Midian?" And they accused him fiercely and said to him, and he said to them, this is his response, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the grape harvest of Abiezer? God has given into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, Zeb. What have I been able to do in comparison with you?" And take a look especially at their response. Then their anger against him subsided when he said this. So you see what happened in that situation. These men are accusing Gideon fiercely, and he responds with a gentle answer. Now, we might see these folks again. We might see Ephraim come up in the story again, and we'll see what happens the next time they come up. But you see, Gideon avoided war through his gentle words. And I want to pause here and just remind us, I'm preaching on Proverbs 15, but Scripture does tell us in the book of Ephesians that there are moments when we do need to speak the truth, right? There are moments when we do need to confront issues. And what does Ephesians say? Speak the truth in love, right? Love governs the timing, the tone, the content of what you say. Love governs your truth speaking. So, a soft answer apparently can turn away wrath. How do we apply this in our lives? Well, to be completely honest, I've struggled with my tongue my whole life. I say things in haste, anger from a place of unkindness, and I get myself into trouble. I think of myself as witty, but in reality, it's a chronic refusal to respond with gentleness and restraint. I think of myself as witty, but in reality, it's a chronic refusal to respond with gentleness and restraint. And my mother and I, over the many years, have had a few run-ins about this particular issue. She had a word for me, which was smart aleck. And that means you talk back to your mother. She's watching. I'm sorry, Mom. So she had a solution for this, though, and maybe some of you mothers or fathers out there have this solution. It's called washing your mouth out with soap. You ever heard of that solution? But see, my mother, she did not believe in bar soap. She believed in the liquid soap method. And so at one point, I don't even remember what the two of us were arguing over, but I said something particularly grievous. It was an error. And my mom said, "Come over here." So I backed that truck up and she filled that tank up with more liquid soap than any human mouth could possibly contain. But that's when the fun really begins, because she starts a timer and you have to hold that liquid soap in your mouth for a particular amount of time. And it depends on the kind of error that, you know, you participated in. And this was a very grievous error, as I said. So the timer said 10 minutes. I had to hold it in my mouth for 10 minutes. Now, I'm telling you guys, I had a problem and I really said something I shouldn't have. So, you know, don't feel sorry for me. This was deserved, trust me. Well, for 10 minutes, if you have soap in your mouth, as you would imagine, you cannot talk. And unfortunately, you can still think. So for 10 minutes, instead of being repentant, and instead of taking that as a moment of silent reflection, I thought about a witty response. And so 10 minutes went by, I spat the soap out of my mouth, and I looked at my mother, and I said, "That wasn't so bad." Yeah, that was the key there. Ooh, wow. Ooh. So what does my mother do in that moment? Well, my mother is truly a saint, right? She's a wonderful woman. She looked at me and she knew nothing positive was going to happen next. So she told me, "Chris, right now you need to go to your room." And I said, "Okay." And so I went to my room. That was a moment when my mother responded with gentleness and she realized a little time away is probably the best solution in this moment. You see, we have power through our words to either calm things down or blow them up. And I decided to strike back with wit, but my mother, in her gentleness, knew how to diffuse a situation. So what is this verse saying? Ultimately saying wise people can avoid unnecessary arguments and live peacefully with others by responding to anger and wrath with a gentle word. Many fights happen because of how we act when we disagree, not because the problems are too big. Many fights happen because of how we act when we disagree, not because the problems are too big. But Proverbs doesn't just tell us what to say. It warns us what not to say. If a gentle word can calm things down, the harsh word has the power to blow everything up. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Point number two on your outline, don't amplify anger. So what does this word harsh mean? Well, it means painful. Pain as in the pain of hard manual labor, the pain of sweat. Have any of you ever worked outside in the summer in Texas? That's the word. Have any of you ever dug a hole outside in the summer? I don't know why anyone would want to do that, but I've done it, and it's not a good idea, right? Have you ever worked so hard that you sweat through all your clothes? There's nothing dry left on you? Well, see, some people actually do that for a living, and I have the utmost respect for them. I sit in an air conditioning office, I type at a desk, I talk to people, and when the AC goes out, I complain that the AC has gone out, right? Some people experience high degrees of pain every day in their jobs, and that's what Proverbs is talking about. That's the same word it uses, this pain, this hurt, this harshness, a harsh, biting word that inflicts pain on another individual. What's the impact? Well, it stirs up anger. Let's go again to that great book in the Old Testament, Judges, and let me show you another example of what might happen with your words. I'm gonna read for you Judges chapter 12. The men of Ephraim were called to arms. Here they are again. The men of Ephraim, they have a little bit of a reputation, right? And they crossed to Zaphon and they said to Jephthah, see, Jephthah is another judge. So they're talking to a new judge. Now they say, why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire. Whew. And Jephthah said to them, I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites. When I called you, you did not save me from their hands. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my own hands and crossed over against the Ammonites. And God gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up against me this day to fight against me? Then he gathered all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And I'm gonna skip down to the bottom. At that time, the bottom of verse 6 says, 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell. So you see the two responses in the book of Judges? A gentle word turned away wrath, and another judge decides no. And 42,000 Ephraimites died. It doesn't even say how many of Jephthah's men died. You see, Jephthah's harsh words to Ephraim resulted in war. But I thought to myself, are there any positive examples of this in our own culture? Examples of people who are known for their gentleness, their soft words. And who did I think of but Mr. Rogers? Have you ever seen the film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? Mr. Rogers is played by Tom Hanks. And the main character is a journalist named Lloyd Vogel. And he's kind of cynical, kind of harsh. He's been hurt by people in his life. And now he pushes others away. When he's assigned to interview Mr. Rogers, he assumes it'll kind of be an easy story. A chance to expose someone, maybe a chance to talk about the dark side of Mr. Rogers. But Mr. Rogers never matches Lloyd's coldness. He doesn't argue or get defensive. Instead, he listens. He pauses. He speaks slowly, carefully, and kindly. He asks thoughtful questions. And you see in this movie, over time, Lloyd begins to change. Not because Mr. Rogers won a debate, not because he spoke up and told him, put him in his place, but because he showed consistent patience and gentleness, even when Lloyd didn't deserve it. And this is what Proverbs 15:1 means. A gentle answer can do more in a tense moment. It can begin to change a person's heart. Anger invites more anger, but kindness disarms it. And I think Mr. Rogers models the power of a gentle word. And so can we. So how do we actually live this out? Let's get practical and look at two ways we can prepare our hearts and our words. Number one, let me suggest this. Choose your response before the heat rises. If you know you're going to have a difficult conversation that's coming up, if you know this has the potential to get sticky and messy, choose your answer ahead of time. Don't wait until you're emotional to act. Proverbs 15 tells us that wisdom is prepared. And a couple of things you could practice. Practice rehearsing a gentle answer. Hey, I hear you. Help me understand. Let's slow this down. I want to talk through this with you. Make these phrases second nature so that when anger flares, you respond with gentleness, not with fire. And number two, refuse to be a fire starter. When you feel provoked, resist the urge to throw out harsh, painful words into the conversation, because painful words are like pouring gasoline onto a spark. You might win the argument, but you might lose the relationship. And let me tell you something, at Grace Bible Church, we struggle with this. And we have struggled with this in our past. We have taken gasoline and poured it onto a spark, and it blew up. And the result was broken relationships. Let me suggest that you memorize Proverbs 15:1 and you silently recite it to yourself when tensions arise. Ask, will these words bring healing or hurt? Am I speaking to win an argument, or am I speaking out of love? If the words are going to stir up anger, if they're going to cause problems in that moment, maybe you need to breathe and pause and consider how you can speak the truth in love. So when conflict flares, we have a choice. We can throw fuel on the fire with harsh words, or we can turn away wrath with a soft answer. By God's grace, let's be people whose words bring peace, not pain. Would you pray with me? Lord, we confess that we struggle with our mouths. James says that the tongue is a great evil. Who can contain it? Teach us to be people who submit all of our speech to you. Teach us to be people who know how to speak the truth in love, and forgive us when we fall short. All of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.